This is Matt Zeman, author of Psychedelics for Everyone and Beyond the Trip. You are listening to the Road to Rediscovery podcast with Aubrey Johnson. Enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on the Road to Rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. Now, as you know, you can hear this show anywhere you get your podcasts, and that is worldwide. We are on podcast platforms that you may not have even heard of. Again, globally. If you happen to listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we encourage you to leave a rate and review. And if you don't listen on those platforms, we still want to hear your feedback. Just shoot us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. And give us some feedback. We would love to hear what's on your mind. And we'll even sound it off and give you a shout out in a future episode. And as always, we are truly, truly grateful for your listenership. All right, my special guest is a success and freedom mentor and the CEO and founder of the Master Your Path community. Her journey is a true testament to the power of manifestation and spiritual growth, from spending 4 years in nature with no modern facilities to building a six-figure business in under a year. That's extraordinary. She specializes in helping others align with their true purpose and giving advice on sustaining confidence, success, and fulfillment. Let's welcome Shimrit Nativ to the show. Shimrit, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, Aubrey. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, no, absolutely. Thank you. We're equally thrilled to have you here as well. And share with us if we can get started with sharing your 4 year off the grid living experience with nature. What type of mindset shift did you need to have to adjust to living without modern facilities? What was that like?
Well, you know, I was young. This was my early 20s. This is over 20 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, I was still, I guess, in my late rebellious, stage. the mindset was somewhat around that too, you know. Mm-hmm. But also it was really to follow the desire that I've always had since a young age, which was to really live it, be more connected to nature. You know, I come from an urban environment. And my parents didn't take me to any kind of camping or anything like that. And I always, since a young age, had this craving even to be connected to nature, to be in nature. As a teenager, I would take myself outside of town to the more rural areas, and we'll just, be there. And so it was really following that desire, coupled with following another, you can say, desire or calling to be close to the partner I was in. So I was with. So I moved to outdoors and off grid to live with my partner at the time, who lived there, right? And and he has a son with cerebral palsy, and I had a brother with cerebral palsy who died when I was 6 years old. And in my early 20s, that was the time in which I was really going deep into, investigating myself and my personality and my past. And, that was kind of the first round in that spiral that I'm continuously on, of self-exploration and self-development. And I actually discovered that he was buried on my sixth birthday, on that very date, Yes. When I was just, you know, going through a photo album one day, as I was really looking for, you know, more clues and more information about my own story. And so shortly after that, I manifested this relationship. So I literally materialized what I was so focused on at the time with myself and my self-exploration. Mm-hmm. And I met, actually, I met his son, Ori, who is still a good friend of mine. He's now 25 years old, more. Met him first through a friend that was working with him as his escort in, you know, in his commute to kindergarten at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I met his father. And we became a couple, and I, but first I actually worked with his son. So I replaced my friend escorting, Ori in his kindergarten. Yeah. So the reason I'm telling you all this, you know, you asked me what mindset shift, it was really, very deeply rooted, callings, both for nature and for this connection, that literally manifested in this relationship. That really pulled me very, very strongly to just leave everything behind with the rebellious kind of nature of that stage in life that I was in. I took it all the way, right? And so I left everything behind, and I literally let go of all of my possessions. I only took my flute that I haven't even yet played at the time. I just had it. Was another deeply rooted desire that haven't yet didn't come to fruition up until that point. But I took that flute with me, and just my journals and a few other things. But really, for the most part, I left everything behind, and I moved to this. We basically lived in his forge. So he's a blacksmith, and he had this forge out in the, you know, in the fields. But it was not like, we didn't have any toilet or shower or kitchen, or we had electricity and cold tap water and some sort of a shed. But it was for the most part just living outdoors, cooking on fire, boiling water for the bucket shower every day, collecting wood, chopping wood, and that sort of thing. So yeah, it was, I guess, my inner journey that led me somehow to this manifestation of this kind of life with these people. It was all interconnected, interrelated.
Oh, amazing, amazing. So, and that is a mindset shift, right? And just to have the presence of mind, the wherewithal to be willing to just take all of your possessions, put them aside, right? Just, you know, doing away with these things as you move forward and face forward to the type of living that you were having on this journey in nature. Very few conveniences, right? Yeah, and that sort of thing. So in you've had this affection with nature for a long time prior to this. This time period, it sounds like. Okay, so I'm sure during those experiences you've had earlier on in life, you know, I'm a huge advocate of when you're out, energy breeds energy, and so if you're out in, say, a nature setting, there's certain energy, if you really appreciate that environment, that you give off, and then there's energy that is fed back to you from nature. And I'm wondering, you know, in this four-year experience, was there any new revelations that were bestowed upon you or made to you that hit you in your experience that was eye-opening or a learning experience? Was there any type of revelations that nature had revealed to you?
Well, many, many. It was nature and the lifestyle and the opportunity that opened up in that setting as well. So I will explain. Firstly, with the nature, it's really being very, very in sync with the elements. right? I mentioned fire, for example. So when you are so dependent on just real raw fire for heating you in the winter, for cooking, for having warm water to, you know, to shower, and you need wood and you need the right type of wood in the right amount or size, and you need to deal with a fire and keep it burning. And like, it sounds like, you know, just like a nice activity, but when your life is so linked to that for your basic necessities, as you said, then you really learn to sync with this element of fire, for example, which is something that I've gained so much from, so much with, you know, surrendering to the fire's rhythm and needs and nature and movement. If you push too hard, it will burn, it will turn off. If you don't take care of it, it will either turn off or go wild, right? It's you really need to surrender to it and to be in sync with it. So that, for example, very, very, very much. And then, as I mentioned, opportunities opened up for me in that setting. And when I, what I mean by that is, so I mentioned the flute, right? So another thing that I always loved was music as a child and growing up. And I always, as a teenager, you know, my friends were always the musicians and I would always sit in, you know, in jam sessions and such. But I was never playing. I mean, I played a little bit of piano, but I wasn't a musician. I wasn't... But I love music and I was very developed listener. And it was there, and I had this flute for like my whole, you know, high school years and everything. And I just never got to play it. I never got to really do anything with it. And it was in that setting, in that very different lifestyle with a lot of space, you know, so nature is a different kind of space than, you know, a house or an apartment in a street and in a town. And we were just there, the two of us, sometimes the three of us when his son was with us, and that's that, and the dogs, we had dogs. And so there was a lot of space and a lot of creative space because he was an artist and, you know, he was doing his art. He was older than me. So he was kind of like a mentor for me as well. And that's when I started playing flute, and I was, for the first time, was able to really pick it up and keep it up and really teach myself at first. And that became later on my career for 20 years. So,
that's amazing. No, that's awesome. That's amazing. And it seems like being in that element of nature and the energy that nature gives, and it goes deeper than just taking it at face value, right? We can always sit in nature and we hear a couple birds in the distance. Maybe as the sun goes down, we hear more crickets, excuse me. And you know, we hear twigs, maybe some creature walking across the in the grove with the trees and everything. But there's a deeper sense of presence if you are willing to take it in. That it sounds like you have obtained, and in exchange, it seemed to have fostered just growth and creativity, and artistry, you know, with the flute and so forth. So that, in what you're sharing, I truly appreciate, because that's a great example of the connection that you've had with that environment, and an example of, you know, what you have received from it in terms of creativity, the autonomy to create, and those sorts of things. Absolutely extraordinary. Now, Shemrit, I'd love if we can now talk about how did the transition happen from, lack of a better term, I'm going to say just one extreme to another, but from one side of 4 years in nature to building a business. You know, if you can give us a glimpse into how that transition happened and what virtues, you know, if any there were, that you adapted or applied in the building the business season that you've learned mm-hmm. from the nature season?
Well, there is a big piece between these two points, right? So I lived 4 years outdoors, and then I surrendered into my musical career first.
Yes, yes.
So, but definitely all is connected, right? So in those years outdoors and my connection with this boy that I mentioned, these were, you know, these were seeds that were planted in me in those very early years of my life with my brother that are related to my desire and passion and mission to help people and to bring healing and to bring connection mm-hmm. and to bridge between worlds, which is what I do today. But between that time and today, and you know, fast forward 20 years building my business, I was a musician. So that was another passion, another gift that I unwrapped mm-hmm. and surrendered to and followed for a long, long time. And then, as I said, fast forward about 20 years, that other passion, that other seed, you know, sprouted and really was calling me to nurture it and to bring it into fruition and to unwrap that other gift of helping people and bridge between worlds and be a bridge, serve as a bridge for people. And so that led me into transitioning from my musical career into coaching. First, you know, I was just coaching, you know, I gathered all kinds of certificates, and over those 20 years, I've had my own personal journey and gathered all kinds of tools that I've used for my own healing and my own self-development.
Right.
And then gained all the necessary certifications and all kinds of other tools, and started coaching. And it wasn't a business at first. I was just coaching here locally, similar to how I would be a music teacher, a private music teacher, which right. was what I was doing for many, many years. I just offered another kind of sessions, right? Mm-hmm. But then very quickly, the results of the clients started to come in, and amazing shifts and transformations. And I realized that I really want to do this in a greater scale and help more people and create more freedom and abundance for myself and my family, and help others do the same again in a greater scale. And that's what led me into starting a business, right? And not just sporadically offering coaching sessions, but really building something that is more substantial and scalable. And that's what led me to where I am today.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And yeah, thank you for really, you know, mapping it out for us, right? With that space in between with your musical career, right? That is a significant piece, obviously, in connecting the nature part and connecting the business part. Yeah. And so you truly have an inward sense of just empathy for people. I can feel from your energy, you have a genuine sense of empathy in wanting to help others. And I want to learn more about your Master Your Path community and helping people who seem to maybe have either lost their way, or you hear people say often that they're stuck in a rut. They may have made a move in a certain direction, but they're not quite sure like which way to go now. And they feel that if they go in a certain direction, they don't want to repeat the behaviors of the past that has gotten them nowhere. Right. And some people don't exactly know what it means to kind of align your mindset to the direction you want to go. So I want to first ask you, first off, let's talk about what is the Master Your Path community. And then I would love to get your insights on on inner thinking. I had a couple questions in that space as well.
Yes, of course. And thank you. Thank you for all your questions and your kind words as well. Master Your Path community is, well, Master Your Path is my brand and my company. And of course, it's all about people and it's all about community. We really feel it as a family. And so there are people in the community that are, you know, finding me online in all kinds of ways. And then, of course, can connect with me in our Facebook group or whatnot. And then, of course, people can go deeper into that journey and join our different programs and our mastermind. And so Master Your Path is like the overarching container for all of that and all of the work that I do. And the community that I've created and that I continue co-creating with everyone in it and with my amazing team, of course. So that is Master Your Path. Path, my last name, Nativ, it means path in Hebrew, which is my native language. Yes, so that's where it comes from. Actually, originally I called it Keeping Path, which is not very clear. I changed it to Master Your Path because it's really all about mastering. I always say well-being and freedom, these are skills that you can practice and master. So it's all about, we have an instrument, you know, we are spiritual beings with a marvelous mind and a physical body. And the mind is really the instrument through which spirit or energy is expressing itself to and through us. And so it's all about mastering this instrument that we have in order to create a life of well-being and of freedom, of prosperity, whatever it is that we desire. And so it's really about mastering. Initially, I wanted to call it Keeping Path because my first name, Shimrit, means in Hebrew to keep. It's related to the word keeping.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So this is kind of where that came from to your question, Master Your Path. So there's a little story behind that, or not a story, but an intention and a meaning to it. So yeah, that's what Master Your Path is.
Oh, fantastic. No. And yeah, there is a true, woven meaning in keeping path as you clearly explained it here, and a tremendous community of people who are either like-minded and they want to learn more about manifesting, they want to learn about how to master the methods and tools to have the mindset for you know, getting what they want out of life, how to get what they want out of life. And then, of course, there are those who don't have that type of, they want to have that mindset, right? They want to have the mindset. They want to learn how to develop these methods, these tools, but is it safe to say some people in the community or those new to the community may not have necessarily the tools or the methods, but they want to have the mindset so they can move in that direction?
Well, yes, of course, for sure. People join the community in all kinds of stages, right? And in terms of their own journey in this kind of realm. So some people come without any prior knowledge or experience of the tools, but I will say that most people, there's room for everyone, right? You can start from scratch, no prior experience, no knowledge, completely new to this, and you will you will find your way, and with a lot of support, even in our free resources. So we run free workshops all the time, and I have a team supporting me and the community, and we give a lot of personal direction. So you can definitely just step in as a newbie into this world, and you will have massive support for free to just get started. But at the same time, many people find their way into this community with a lot of prior experience and knowledge, actually, doing a lot of mindset work and spiritual work, and somehow find, because what I really, really love is combining spirituality and science. I'm a very spiritual person. Yes. but I'm also a very analytical person at the same time. And I love my analytical mind, right? That's part of the tool. And so I love understanding the spiritual truth on a as much tangible way as I can. And I love explaining it this way. And so that's why I've worked with teachers like Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I've trained with him to teach his material. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I love his work so much is that he brings the scientific explanation and proof of quantum leaping and coherence healing and all of those things that we can now explain scientifically and show, right? Or channeling or all of those things.
Yeah.
So I find this so important to bring that, because that we are all programmed to really focus and rely on physical evidence and physical proof. And we are more a scientific and a mechanical generation or culture than spiritual, for the most part, in the Western world, at least, right? So we need that proof. We need that evidence. And this kind of allows us to, we can use our analytical mind to understand, and then we are able to let go of that need and really surrender to the spiritual truth and to the spiritual awakening and expansion. And so I've worked with him, and at the same time with Robert Moss, for example, who is a great dream master, and it's all about the spiritual world and the astral world, and others as well, or Bob Proctor, who is all about manifestation, success, setting goals. So I love combining all these teachers and great mentors that I've had the opportunity to work with, and bring something that is a combination of these different approaches and tools. And I find that people that come to the community, even if they have a lot of experience doing all or some of these or others practices and studies, still find the combination of them giving them a new way of understanding and implementation of it. So there's room for everybody, of course. If you're just getting started, or if you're well on your way in your spiritual growth or personal development, it is my intention and mission to support anyone wherever they are on their journey.
That is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And you're right, East meets West in terms of these methodologies, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I have to say I appreciate how you introduce this holistic view of the spiritual and the scientific side, because I do believe that both are needed, both are involved, and there must be an understanding or a visibility to both in order to master your path, as you say, right? And those things are very important. And to offer that holistic view to your community, I think is also speaks to the open-mindedness, of your methods, your tools, which are a combination of the two. So, that leads me to ask, as part of that science, there's some neurological elements that may be involved in some of your methodologies.
Well, yes, I'm not a neurologist, of course, and I'm not a scientist, but we definitely go deeper into understanding the neurochemistry that is going on inside our body, as the body is a 100% manifestation of the subconscious program that this instrument is operating on, right? So as we said, we are spiritual beings. We are not this body, and we are not our thoughts, and we are not our experiences or our story. But as a human being, we are manifested and experience life through this instrument. And this instrument, the mind, is operating on a program. It's a subconscious program that operates really like a computer program, like an autopilot program, if you will. So it's set on a certain level. It's a cybernetic system, basically. It's set on a certain level. And if there's any deviation from that, the automatic program will kick in to bring the instrument back to where it was set on until that program is updated, right? And the body is 100% manifestation of that program. And so, and it's manifested in our neurology, as you said. So everything that we've experienced, everything that we've heard, every impression that we've ever received through our physical senses from the moment we were born or even before when we were still in the womb, everything was and is registered in our brain. And whatever was perceived in patterns, which is what was repeated by our environment over and over and over again in those very early years, is what created the neurological pathways in our brain that are active. And those trigger certain chemical reactions in our body, which creates a loop of neurochemistry in the body that translates into a loop of thinking and feeling, thinking and feeling, thinking and feeling, that leads us to action and to creating the experiences that we have in our life. And so in this work, in Master Your Path, we definitely have many conversations at this level, as I said, because I find this, first of all, fascinating and also very, very helpful in really applying the principles to create changes. Because if you understand how you're in, it's like if you want to learn how to drive a car, you don't have to necessarily understand how the engine works and so on. But the more you understand about what the, you know, first gear is and second gear is, if we use a simple analogy, the more it will help you to then use the car when you're on a steep hill, or I don't know if you're following my.
I completely follow you, because as you're explaining this, or even before you started to use the car analogy, the way you explained as far as manifestation, I was wondering in the back of my mind, okay, what is the engine that drives manifestation, right? And you talked about the mind and the power of the mind, and you know, we're not our body, we're not our story, and so that really started to put the pieces together. And then it's almost like we were on the same wavelength. You brought in the car analogy and the gears. And I'm thinking, that's what I was getting at, you know, what drives or what is the engine behind manifestation? You know, we know it's energy, but where is it? What moves it? Right. And so you articulated that so well. And I greatly appreciate that, you know, and oh, absolutely. And I didn't want to dive too deep into the neuroscience or the neurology part of it. But from a neurological standpoint, I did want to maybe ask you a couple questions regarding how does one navigate around certain, I don't want to say neurological conditions, but certain states in their mind. Okay, to find their path, there obviously has to be some work or inner work done that we must do in order to find our path. But what if we have a barrier or an obstacle, and that is a certain condition or state that we're in? And here's what I mean by that. You know, among the outer and inner challenges that we try to overcome, I would think that one of them would be our inner struggle, the inner struggle or that fight within our minds, within our head, okay, where there's a clear difference between knowing what we want to do and knowing what we must do. And they're not always the same thing. And so there's, in my mind, a level of discipline that may play a part. But I was wondering, what type of mindset shift, or how do we navigate around overcoming a complacent way of thinking. You know, the complacent way of thinking may gravitate us towards what we want to do, which may be counterproductive versus what we must do or should do.
I want to ask you a question, Aubrey, just to make sure that I am on the same track with you. When you say that we must or should do, do you mean that as in for our benefit and for what we actually want to manifest? Or okay, so when you say maybe I'll give an example to what I think you mean, and you'll confirm if that's what you mean, and then I'll answer your question. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it would addiction be a good example for what you're asking? So, for example, you want to, smoke the cigarette, but you should not because you want to be healthy, kind of thing?
Yes, there we go. Absolutely.
Okay, so this is a really good question. I just wanted to make sure that that was the question indeed. So,
sure.
You know, you've mentioned the word discipline, which is that was my hint to know that this is what you mean. So discipline is self-love. This is one of the most beautiful, as a rebel myself, as I mentioned,
yes,
this was one of the most useful and transformational mindset shifts that I've had a long time ago. Discipline is self-love, right? Many of us, we experience discipline, or we perceive, better said, discipline as something that is limiting us, as something that is, that is creating resistance, that is constraint. But actually, discipline is self-love, because if I am disciplined in my practice, in my decisions, if I make a decision to stop smoking, and I follow that decision, I am loving myself. I am caring for my well-being. I'm caring for my health. I am a person of my word to myself, right? So I am that is an act of self-love. And seeing that as such can really, really help. The thing is that in order to change, we have to be greater than our body.
Yes.
So, yeah. And an addiction to a substance is no different, by the way, than an addiction to our own thoughts. We are literally addicted to our thoughts. So those chemicals that we mentioned, that the thought in the thinking feeling loop, in the neurochemistry loop, we are addicted to that. We are addicted to the chemical hit that our inner pharmacy is producing to us and in us every time we think that thought. And so external substances are just like the addictions to external substances is just as powerful and operates in a very similar way as our addiction to our internal substances. And so in order to break any addiction, internal or external, we have to be greater than our body. We have to apply our ability to think beyond the physical experience, to think beyond the automatic loop of neurochemistry, thinking and feeling, and break that with a thought. And that thought will lead to a new action. And so that's a skill. That's the skill, basically, right? Because if I'm in a car or on a plane, let's say, and it's going on autopilot, or in a car, auto drive, right? Auto cruise, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just driving, right? And I'm out of control. I don't know how to deactivate the auto system and take the wheel and, navigate and drive the car to where I want to go. Then it's just going and I'm on it and there's nothing I can do. It's going to take me on that route that's been set, and that's that. And that's how most people live. But if I master the instrument to be able to deactivate that program and reset it to where I want to go and steer the wheel to where I want to go, then I'm mastering the instrument, and that is what will allow me to direct it where I want. It's the same thing. So the addiction to any behavior, to any substance, to any pattern of thought is like you being in a car or on a plane, and you cannot direct it. You're out of control. You're going to go wherever it's going to take you, and it's already set and it's automatic. And it's a skill, just like you've learned how to drive a car or ride a bike or any other skill and instrument that you know how to you know, to operate and direct. You can do that with your own mind. It's a skill that you can practice and master.
That's wonderful. It reminds me of a muscle as well, right?
Exactly.
The further developed the discipline, the further developed the skill.
Exactly.
Maybe. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Wow, this is very, very, a very wonderful conversation, Shimrit.
I agree. Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you. I mean, you are sharing some very, very important insights for the listeners. And yes, in my question that you just graciously answered, it was talking about discipline, talking about addiction as an example, because after all, you know, we know different types of addictions happen to many people in life. This show is about overcoming obstacles. It's about mindset, and it's about having tools and resources to develop the mindset so that you can overcome these types of obstacles. And it sounds like not just do you have, you don't have just the tools and methodologies for overcoming obstacles, but also the tools and insights for just discovering, aligning yourself and discovering who you really are to live your most highest potential of quality of life that you can. And that's what's really that's what gets me excited, you know, when I hear about your community. Is that true? I mean,
you said it so perfectly.
Tools and methods for both.
You said that so perfectly. To be who you truly are. We literally have a module for that. That it's called the truth of who you are. That's the first step in the rise journey that we have. That is our, you know, most that's our mastermind program, and that's the main journey that people go on. The rise journey, and it starts with the truth of who you are. And the way you described it, Aubrey, when you said, you know, just aligning with who you truly are and living that life, like all I wanted to say is amen. Like, yes. You said it so well. Yeah, that's what this is all about. And that's what life is about, right?
Well, yeah, it totally is, you know. And let me ask you this. Who is, now as a coach, okay, you've offered these insights, you've offered these practices and methods to many clients. Undoubtedly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, whose eyes are the most appropriate eyes to make the determination as to whether or not any progress has been made in this transformation once they have these tools? Is it something that the client feels within themselves over a certain period of time? It may not be the same amount of time for every person. It may vary from person to person. Or is it what the coach sees outwardly with the client to discern, like, hey, they're really making some serious progress? I mean, where does that live?
It's both, obviously. The transformation usually starts first of all, with how the person feels. And that can happen very, very quickly.
Okay.
And then the changes start to unfold externally. You know, we just had our mastermind call today, just an hour before it ended, an hour before our call here, Aubrey.
Yeah.
And just as an example, we always start with celebrations. And one of the participants, Anna, just celebrated. So she joined just a couple of months ago, 4 months ago. And when she joined, she was suffering with late COVID long COVID. And she was literally disabled for a few years. She was on sick leave. She couldn't work. She couldn't walk. She couldn't do anything. She was in bed. She had to go with a walker or a wheelchair. And this is a successful, happy person with, you know, little kids and, you know, that, you know, just got sick, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
we know in Master Your Path, we know that, and this my journey led me to know that years before, right? This was my own healing journey, that everything that is happening in the body, as we said before, it's a manifestation of the program. So we can call it long COVID, or we can call it cancer, or we can call it an accident. It's all manifestations of internal conditions, like subconscious conditions, that is. And so fast forward to today, that was what she was celebrating. She's given her given back her walking aids already month and a half ago. And today she celebrated going back to work, starting her own podcast, you know, and all kinds of other things. So to for your question, how do you know? You know, right? You feel it, and then you start creating changes in your life. Of course, the coach is always there to reflect and to support, and the community is there to reflect and to support. So we always see, like, wow, Anna, you're shining in a new light. Everybody can see it, right? Because we witness each other on our journeys, right? And that includes me as well, by the way. I'm very transparent with my clients. I always share my own journey as well, because I'm on a journey too, forever. That's what life is about. So it starts with feeling, and then with embodiment, and with external results.
That's amazing. And it lives in both places, as you said, because you have to have, I think, we all must have that one witness, right? We have that witness, you know, that can attest to the progress, can attest to the growth, have been on, you know, a part of that journey with you from where you were to how you are today. You know, I mean, that is wonderful. Well, Shimri, that begs me to ask the following question then, and I would love to know your insight on this. And that is, you know, what is the secret? What is the secret to sustaining the level of success without burnout? You know, how does one sustain their level of success without burning out, you know, because that can happen, I'm sure, at times.
Yeah, and it happened to me, you know, in my first year of business, I really burned out, and I actually had to stop everything that I was doing and really bring everything to a zero and then restart it again. That's actually what led me to do this. So, you know, I was coaching and I was using tools that I've gained before and helping people in a beautiful way, and I was ever so grateful for it. But I didn't really change my own programming. You know, I came into a business with a big goal, six figures in less than a year, and a lot of motivation. And my own subconscious programming allowed me to reach it, but with a lot of hard work. And it led me to burnout. And that is what led me then to start doing, you know, Dr. Joe Dispenza and Bob Proctor's work, and actually working personally with them as well, to really, really, really master myself on a new level.
Yes.
And that's what it takes, right? And then I restarted everything and, you know, exceeded those goals and continued expanding beyond that. It takes you. There's no end to what you can create. There's no end to the success that you can reach. And to the abundance that you can generate, and you definitely don't have to sacrifice your health or your happiness for it. That's not what success really is, or abundance really is anyway, right?
That's right.
And so it's about, again, just knowing how to reprogram yourself on a subconscious level so you can create the life that you really want. So if I, like myself, for example, I was operating on a program that said, you know, more success, more burden. More money, more burden, or you have to work very, very hard in order to be successful. You have to make sacrifices. So that's what I manifested, right? When I was able to go in there into the operating system and change that, and it's not about just, you know, okay, so now I don't believe that anymore, right? Or it's not about just saying affirmations all day long. I'm abundant.
Right,
I'm abundant.
Right.
It's really a deep, deep, deep process. It's a healing process. It's a practice. And when you implement that, and when you learn how to live by it, then you can be successful without burnout. And I can tell you 100% that's possible. That is 100% possible.
Wow. And it becomes a part of who you are, right?
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Exactly. Yes.
Extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. So, Shimrit, how can the listeners connect with you, learn more about your great work, and just, you know, get some more insights, great insights, such as what you've shared today?
Well, thank you so much for asking, Aubrey. Well, one great way to do that is to send me a DM on Instagram, right? If you send me the DM energy, just the word energy, you can send me whatever you want. But if you want a free meditation, that is a great place to start. Then you can send me the word energy and I will send that to you. Another way is to, if you want to go a little bit deeper beyond one meditation and do a little journey with me, then you can go to a link that I'm sure Ari, you will share in the notes for this episode. And that will take you to a free workshop. It's a 3 days workshop. It's called All the Way to the Top. And it's completely for free. It includes meditations and so much more and some integration work. And so you're welcome to do that. You're welcome to do both. Or reach out to me in any other way. And I would love to connect and to offer all of my support.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. So we're going to make sure and have all of those links in the episode show notes.
Including
the call to action. And you heard it right here, listeners, where Shimrit has offered you to send her a DM in Instagram to that says energy. Simply put, energy.
Yes.
And for free meditation, a free deep meditation. So we will make sure that that Shimrit's Instagram handle is placed in the episode show notes as well. And you can connect to her website, other places too that she just mentioned, and connect, get more insights while listening to this wonderful conversation. Shimrit Nativ, I really, really appreciate you coming onto the show and just making yourself vulnerable and opening yourself up to sharing your journey, what you've learned on the journey, and just the great things that you're offering to so many people around the world.
Thank you so much, Aubrey. I really, really appreciate it. And I've enjoyed so much our conversation and your beautiful energy as well. And your background, you know, with this path behind you just is so in sync with my kind of theme as well. So I really love being here with you. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no, thank you. And thank you for the thoughtful words. And we reciprocate. Energy feeds energy, right?
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes.
For sure. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And look, you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, we're never alone. And hope is always around the corner. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs inspiration, motivation, and support. You know, when it really comes down to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. And it sure feels so good having you alongside with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Road to Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.